What a joy it is to be back with you. It's always great to go away, and it's always great to come home. And so great to sleep in our own bed last night for a little while, and that was nice. And it's a joy to be back with you. What an amazing world God has created. That's just been affirmed more and more this past week for us. The beauty and the wonder of the earth, the Genesis, the beginning. The book of Genesis is a great book to dwell in, to saturate in, to ponder in, to read over and over again, and just listen for the voice of God and the Spirit of God. We do believe that the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures when our hearts are listening and humbled before Him. That is what we are celebrating and affirming in this series, that God wants to do something to strengthen my faith and your faith, maybe to help us in our ability to witness and be a testimony of the work of God. I think of the song, and I think we're going to sing it at the end of the service. I sing the mighty power of God. I sing the mighty power of God in everything that we do and we see. Our study in Genesis is to strengthen our faith. And a couple of weeks ago, I quoted a verse from Psalm chapter 19 that says this: "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and show the works of thy hands." And when I quoted that verse, I really wasn't thinking about the next two verses. But when you look at all them together, it says, "Day after day, the skies proclaim the work of your hands, and they pour forth speech. Night after night, the skies display the knowledge of God. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." Go to that next slide there. Look at that end of that verse. "There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." You know, the Bible tells us that God has revealed Himself in the creation to every person on earth. Now, I know that it's different for me than what it is for someone else and across the globe in another country, in another language, but Psalm 19 tells us that God has revealed His creative power to every single person. In Romans, we read that no man is without excuse. God gives every person what they need to respond to them. Now, I know that we live in a Western culture, in a country that's had many privileges of worship, and all of us have a Bible or have access to a Bible if we care to, but somehow God speaks to every person around the world. In His infinite creative power, He is able to do that. I did want to report this morning, before we read our text, that more conversations have been overheard from the womb. Now, my hearing's not that good, so I didn't get this straight. I didn't hear it myself, but I've heard and been reported to me that there's been some more conversations. The two young boys, very young, in fact, so young that, of course, they've not been born yet, but they are twins, and they have been very active in the womb lately, and they were overheard talking again. It just seems that this subject's been on their little minds, their little tiny brains, that even at about 2 months old is so tiny. I mean, you can't hardly see how large the brain of a two-month-old, but it's there, and that's amazing. And this is the conversation apparently went something like this. Said big brother to little brother, "I hear that some people don't believe that we have life yet." "Oh, that's really strange," little brother said. "Do you know that my heart has been beating since the 22nd day following the Big Bang?" "Wow, brother, are you sure? Day 22? Little brother said, "Not just my heart, but my fingers and my toes have been here even before day 22. You're not supposed to put that slide up. I'm sorry. I thought I took it out. That's my notes. That's what happens when you don't get any sleep. "I know," big brother said suddenly. "You keep kicking me, and you've been doing it since very early on, and I don't like it. If you don't stop, I'm going to tell Mom." "Mom who?" little brother said. "Do you still believe in her even though you can't see her?" "Of course," said big brother. "I'm much older and more mature than you. I feel her heartbeat, and I know that she carries me everywhere I go. No matter what I'm doing, Mom is there. How can you not believe in Mom? She's taking such good care of me. How could I deny that she's real? Oh, big brother, you'll believe anything, won't you? Based on everything I know, and you realize, even though I'm your little brother, I know a whole lot and I've learned a lot. I mean, I'm educated. After all, we're in our third month. Based on everything I know, I don't think that Mom could possibly exist. Brothers in the womb. Two weeks ago, we talked about days two and three of creation. I look back over those days, and I've had the privilege to read just every day this week, just read Genesis chapter 1 over and over again, and just kind of amazed with days 1 through 3, or I kind of look at them like this, are the forming power of God, the organizing power of God. He just kind of took what he created in the beginning, the heavens and the earth, and he somehow brooded over it, and somehow in that state that he, from the beginning, God just kind of brooded over this something, this chaotic heavens and earth. And then suddenly on day one, he reacted and he moved and he began to give formation and order to the chaos that was there. I sure don't understand it, but I can worship the Creator who made it. And then on days four and six, really the last half of day three, God began to fill the earth. First, he formed it and gave it meaning and gave it purpose and gave it organization. And then he began to work it and he began to fill it. We heard 2 weeks ago that God began to fill the earth with plants and trees and all kinds of things, fruits and grasses, 422,000 varieties or kinds of plants out there that God's made. Some sign, I mean, you know, the number, it varies a lot, but 422,000 kinds of plants. I just want to show you a few from Guyana. I do have a few pictures I want to show you from Guyana. Some very beautiful pictures of many that we had today. You know, pictures just don't do justice to what you see. I was hoping this, I thought this new projector would be pretty neat. Okay, go to the next one. There's beautiful colors, yellows and pinks and oranges. Go on, just go on, Nate, to the next one. Boy, these were beautiful. Even as pretty as they are, look at that. You know, I wondered, when did God create color? Which day was color? Because that seems to be one of God's most amazing things to me, the beauty of color and what he's made. And then there's the fruit trees. We had the opportunity to get off the boat and along the Quarantine River and walk across this long plank. I don't know if anybody took a picture of that. It's like if you don't like looking down, you might not want to make the trip from the boat out to the land at that point. But they invited us to walk around a little bit, and so we walked and back to the orchard, and they had orange and tangerine trees. And they invited us just to pick them and eat them. And so, of course, I did. And, boy, the tangerines were, that's the first time I ate a tangerine right off the tree. They were so good. Think of the variety of what God's made. Right there on the border between Guyana and Suriname, fruit trees. Go to the next one, coconuts, coconut trees. They were delightful to see. Banana trees and plantains and just many, many others. Somehow God in his infinite creative power on day three began to fill the earth with green things and plants of all kinds. And now let's read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 of day 4 and day 5. Genesis chapter 1, if you want to follow along or read with me, I'm going to begin at verse 14 and read through verse 23. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the waters teem according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. On the fourth day, God must have been pretty busy too. God created things that are absolutely amazing to each one of us. Go on to that next slide, if you would, Nate. On the fourth day, God began to create, and he created the sun and the moon. No small feat. Can you imagine what it took for God to create the sun? So I read a couple of weeks ago, and then tried to get a little bit of internet this week and read some things about the sun and how amazing our sun is. And just that God on the fourth day, in one day, I don't know if it took him a split second. I don't know how long it took him to create the sun, but God created the sun on the fourth day. In an instant, somehow, God created this massive sun, this sun that would give light, and the moon, no small feat. And then it says also here on the fourth day that God created the stars. And it says in their vast, in one translation, God created the stars in their vast array. Boy, that almost seems like an understatement, the array of the stars, as you begin to measure and understand how large the universe, how large the heavens are that God has made. The distance between the stars is just so incredible that we can't begin to understand. Look at verse 16. I want you to notice something about God creating the stars. It says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. Then look at the next five words. He also made the stars. It's almost as if on day four that it was an afterthought that God created 1.7, 210 stars. And also he threw that in on the fourth day. It kind of seems that way when you read the text, and I've kind of heard or I've kind of seen how that is translated from the Hebrew, and it's almost like an afterthought. Oh, by the way, God threw in the stars on day four. That's just incredible. It boggles my mind. He also made the stars. That was nothing to him. Later, he'll name all the stars. If you think it's pretty amazing that God made all the stars, that is, I mean, that's beyond my comprehension. But the Bible also tells us that God named every star. There's a star that God has for every name out there. Can you possibly believe that and understand that? God knows every star that's out there. I noticed that God will have Adam name the birds, and Adam will name the animals, but God names the stars. Well, I guess he thought maybe Adam had a limit. You know, he could probably come up with 10,000 names for birds and 8.8 million estimated different varieties or kinds of animals that are over the earth. I mean, I don't know how long it would have taken Adam to do that, but God saved the stars for himself, and he named every one of them. You know, the naming of big stars is a big deal in the scientific world, in the astronomical world. You know, there are societies out there just to name stars, and there's just so many of them. You can even pay $25 and have a star named for you if you would like that. He named the stars. He created the stars. God did something else when he created the sun and the moon and the stars. He said that he created them with a purpose. He created them to govern. God created the sun and the moon and the stars to govern. I've kind of been thinking about that term during the last few days. What did it mean that God made them to govern? That word's found three times in the text. To boss around the day and the night. God chose the sun and the moon, these objects that he made, that he spoke into existence, and he said, okay, I have a purpose for you. I want you to oversee day and night. I want you to take care of that little task, that little job, and from now on, sun and moon, I'm putting it in your hands. Take care of the day and the night. Till the order changes at the end of time, the sun and the moon and the stars in to govern. He put them in charge. God gave work to do to the sun and the moon. You know, the Bible also reminds us that God has a purpose for everything that He made. And we don't understand what they are, but I believe that God has a purpose for the mountains. We kind of see some clues of that in some of the Psalms and in the book of Job, that God, you know, I can't begin to understand the purposes of God for all this stuff that He made. I mean, man, I can barely try to understand why God made us and made me. But somehow this infinite, creative, powerful God, I mean, infinite God, we got to get a handle. What is infinite God? Far more than we can possibly understand. But God gave a purpose to them, and part of their purpose was to govern. He gave work for them to do. Here, this ball of fire that we call the sun, and God made on the fourth day of creation. It's pretty amazing. Do you know that the average temperature, go on to that next picture, Nate, the average temperature on the surface of our sun is 5,500 degrees. I don't know what you're working on with your solar panels, Tom, but now that's just the average on the outside. If you really want, when things are kind of boiling up in there and all that helium and all that is nuclear fusion, all that, you know that the sun, when it really gets going and it's having a good day, it can get up to 27 million degrees, scientists think. I don't know how they measure that. Think with me. 27 million degrees. Man, I feel like I am a grain of sand in the whole universe. I mean, I'm less than that. 27 million degrees. And do you know that the sun is a fairly small star? 99% or so of the stars out there are larger than our sun. I mean, I think, man, this sun's got to be the middle of the creation. It's got to be the main thing. 27 million degrees. Yeah, how far it is across. Absolutely incredible. It's one of the smallest class of stars. Not the smallest, but it is the smallest star that we can see from Earth. I read this somewhere, and I might not have it exactly, but I read that when you look up at the sky at night, all the stars that have been charted so far, with the human eye that you can see, our sun is smaller than every star you can see, they believe, that you can see with the human eye. Now, there's telescopes that can see smaller stars out there, but with the human eye, our sun is the smallest one. Wow. So God just put this little tiny dot here for us, to give us warmth during the day and to govern the day and the night. Whew. The lowest 1% of the size star. Well, in fact, do you know that the largest star known? Does anybody know here the name of the largest star out there? And don't tell me Tom Cruise. Okay? Anybody know the name of the largest star out there? I mean, this is what scientists think. Now, how they come up with it. I'll tell you what, I have a $100 bill. For anybody that can tell me the name of the largest star out there at the end of the service without looking on the internet, $100 right there. I am generous. It's from Guyana. It's worth 5 cents. The largest star, Canis Majoris. Now this next number, again, these numbers get me, but this next one I think it's getting up there. It's estimated that 8 billion of our suns would fit within Canis Majoris. 8, you hear this? Maybe I read it wrong. It said 8 billion of our suns would fit into the largest star that's been measured by man. I mean, that's just, I don't know why God gave us this little puny star to keep us going, you know? I have read about our sun that it's almost a perfect circle. I know with all the gases and all that, I kind of think of the sun as doing this, but whatever scientists say that the body of the sun, I read this, to scientists is the most perfect circle they have ever measured. From the very top of the sun, or the North Pole to the South Pole, there's only a 10-kilometer variance in the circle of the sun. Think about that. I mean, you realize how big the sun is. Okay. I know I'm picking on this little ball here. It's not very big. 960,000 Earths, if they were like ping pong balls and you got the sun, 960,000 Earths would fit inside our puny little sun. How can you not believe in an infinite creator, God? God did some amazing, incredible things on day four. Just the sun itself. And just throw in the stars. Day four is an amazing day. And then he said at the end of the day, must have been a rough day, long day, short day, I don't know. But God said he saw that it was good. An infinite God makes a universe like that and says it's good. There are so many more incredible numbers. As you know, I get caught up with some of these numbers because they impress me. I'm impressed by these numbers. 960,000 Earths just inside our little tiny puny sun. And God just happened to set that sun in relation to the earth, just in the right place. I mean, if he would have moved it something like 1/1000th of a percent closer or further, closer, it would be on fire all the time. Something like that. Further away, it would be covered with ice. I mean, we're not talking about if he just moved it 25 billion miles. I mean, if he just moved it 1% further than it is. And how they rotate, and there's an elliptical, and you know, all that. And you think all that's by random chance? I can't believe it. There's no way. There is no way. There's no way. There are a lot of mysteries about day four. I have a lot more questions than I do answers. I don't understand how God created plants before he created the sun. I don't know how they did what they did. And, you know, I don't understand that. I hear things, but God created plants on day three, and on day four he created the sun. How did that happen? I don't know. There's just a lot to think about and wonder about and ponder, the wonder of God. Day four should call us to worship the Creator. But man in his fallen nature turned very early on after the fall to worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. And so in just about every culture around the world is the worship of the sun. The light givers were to be appreciated, the creative power of God, but they weren't to be worshiped. The Creator was to be worshiped. Well, let's go to day five. I know I could go on a long time and I won't. I'll stop soon. Day five, let the waters teem with life. Let the waters teem with life. For those of you that have been out in the ocean or Navy guys or fishermen or you just like the under Jacques Cousteau or whatever it is, you know, the amazing variety of things that are out there and sea creatures, let the waters teem with life. Somebody said, I don't remember who, maybe, I don't know if it was Katrina, somebody was saying about how big the ocean is and how, you know, you're out there and you're flying and you can't see the, you know, the shores and how big. And it was God's purpose that they would be full of life. Wow. I won't give you any numbers about that, but I could. I will tell you this, that God said on the fifth day he blessed them. He blessed the seas and the oceans. That's the first time mentioned in the creation story that God blessed them. God blessed the sea and the creatures. And he told them to be fruitful. I mean, and boy were they. I guess that's why I love snorkeling so much. I love to see the fruit of the creation of day five. And then there are the birds of the air. Here we go again. 22,000 or so species or subspecies of birds out there. Not sure exactly what that word means in relation to the word kind here, but 22,000 kinds of birds, that's incredible. Here are a few that we saw in Guyana. Three pictures. Look at them with us. Go to the next one. And again. Now that's Sarah. Sarah talks. Except she's a little shy when you got 10 people coming at her with cameras. The birds of the air, the sea creatures, again, they are to be enjoyed, and we should enjoy them. We should celebrate them. They should remind us of the power of God and the life that God gives. Not to be worshipped. Again, what's happened since the fall of man is the worship of the created things instead of worship of the Creator. And I want this series, and I want us to be reminded over and over again, the call to worship the Creator. He's an amazing God. Celebrating the amazing power of a creative God today. In the air, and in the water, and in the sky, God's creative power is absolutely amazing.